Play action to him. Goff floats. Kupp downfield. What a throw. Cooper Kupp. Come on. Touchdown.
Hello, hello, let's go! It's your man, Flip Mozzie, and thank you for spending 15 minutes with me today. Here we are in week 5. Our Minnesota Vikings travel back to Philadelphia to face the reigning Super Bowl champion, Eagles. A revenge game, some will say, but that narrative seems long gone as both teams are reeling from close losses last week. We're here to talk football, purple football, and see how Minnesota can get that much-needed win. But first, let's take a look back at the week that was. We knew going in that the Vikings were going to need a great effort to come away with a victory. They kept it close, hung in there with a talented team, but it wasn't enough. This time, the defense let them down, falling apart in coverage and getting killed by the big play. The Vikings defense had no answers, neither the players on the field or the scheme being called. We saw a disheartening performance for those two reasons. Danielle Hunter didn't affect Jared Goff enough. Linval Joseph was silent during the game, while Todd Gurley and Cooper Kupp, they proved too much to handle. And the scheme, well, what more can be said? Did Zimmer put his guys in a position to win? Is Anthony Barr covering slot receivers smart? No. Is it a good idea to run Ben Gideon on the field when they've been passing the ball down the field at will? It only happened twice, but it definitely didn't work. Offensively, they looked great in the one dimension that matters, the passing game, of course. Kirk Cousins, Adam Thielen, and Stephon Diggs continued to tear apart opposing defenses. Kyle Rudolph, Aldrick Robinson, even Laquon Treadwell, they were heard from. John DeFilippo designed an innovative game plan faced with a stout defense going against a shoddy offensive line. He didn't chip much, didn't keep a running back in the block. Instead, he just didn't use play action all that much. He knew Kirk would have less time, so he got rid of the slower developing plays and used a lot of empty sets. They worked. Now, the run game is still a ghost whisperer, and while I still think we could see that become the final piece of dynamic offense, we're still waiting for Dalvin Cook to come back, and Miles has told me I'm not allowed to complain about the run game when our purple puts up 446 yards, 31 points. It was an incredible game last Thursday with great atmosphere, strong turnout from Vikings fans, high-octane offense, big plays, but not a lot of defense. And it wasn't a win against the Rams, who looked like the best team in the NFL. There's 1,000 opinions on how to recover from that loss, but there's only a few who have the ones that matter. Let's note the Vikings had an extended week and didn't make any roster moves. Maybe we'll see some guys get benched, different starters, but right now I don't think that's the fix. I said after the Aloka signing, his impact would be small compared to what fans were dreaming of. Mike Hughes has been encouraging, but that doesn't mean he's ready. Tom Johnson didn't even dress. And I like the cautious road to improvement simply because we shouldn't base these changes all on one game. Take in the entire path that's led to this 1-2-1 record at the quarter mark. Recognize those as the main areas where our purple needs to improve. So that's what we're going to do here. Starting with the offense, they're 20th with 22.5 points per game. That Buffalo performance really hurt them, and remember, they only scored 17 points in week 1 when you take away that Hughes pick 6. We hope to see the offense improve with DeFilippo, Cousins, and Cook average points in the mid to high 20s, but it hasn't. Yes, Kirk and the passing game look great. They're throwing for 390 yards per game, a top 5 passing offense. If you look at success rate, they're 9th right now with 50% success. Not as high, but still acceptable. The pass game overall just isn't the issue with this team. If we rank the pass catchers by efficiency, it's Rudolph, Thielen, Treadwell, Diggs in that order. Cook has been effective here too when healthy. The Vikings are targeting receivers way above average, not throwing as much to their running backs and tight ends. They have a league-high success rate, 82%, throwing to TEs. All that passing is needed because the run game, my goodness, dead last. in yards and success rate. 37% isn't reliable. JDF treats it like an afterthought. Are we okay with this? It doesn't have to be the focal point, but dead last, I'm not going into detail. Everything about it is bad. So if I had to improve the Vikings offense, I'm looking for ways to take the run game from terrible to mediocre. I think if they can progress from 37% to 42%, just any semblance of a run game, that would pay big dividends. Hopefully, Cook being healthy, Pat Elflein getting settled in will be enough. I'm going to get running backs and tight ends more involved in the pass game too, since they've been so great there. If they can factor in Cook out of the backfield, use Rudolph and Morgan a bit more, do more of what they're good at, yes, I think the offense can be even better. But no one wants to talk about improving the offense. It's the defense that's causing all these fire drills. So again, let's look at the numbers. They're allowing 28 points per game, not only bad defense, bad special teams, ill-timed turnovers. They all combine for 22nd in the league, 23rd in pass yards allowed. 13th in rush yards, that sounds nice, but it hasn't had a big impact on performance. Probably because they're allowing 51% rush success, which is 27th in the league. Their pass defense is actually more efficient, 17th. Now just listen here. The Vikings D is struggling for three main reasons. One, they're allowing big plays in the pass game. Two, they're anti-clutch run defenders. When the opposing offense needs just a few yards, they're getting them. Third, they're not generating turnovers. We'll do some more digging, but right there, the way to get better is clear. Stop the big plays, make key run stops, and turn the ball over. Stop the big plays, make key run stops, turn the ball over. In terms of which positions are beating Minnesota, in the pass game they're worse defending tight ends, but they're not above average anywhere. Running back screens and wide receivers through the middle of the field are working too. Their yards per attempt stats are terrible. Passes to running backs are a guaranteed first down right now. 10.8 yards per attempt allowed. It's a scheme issue. They're making our linebackers Barr and Eric Kendricks cover instead of bash. But there's something else there. Remember all the plays those two made behind the line of scrimmage on running back runs and passes last year? There's hesitation now. They're playing on their back foot. We can't figure out why. We dream of that aggressive style again. Or maybe it's all a thing of the past. Maybe linebacker is just a dying position like fullback. I mean, how many athletes can cover tight ends, running backs, slot receivers, while still stopping the run game? Can't be many, so it's understandable that a lot of fans are saying, forget linebacker, forget Anthony Barr. Put another safety on the field to defend the pass game, count on the front four alone to stuff the run. Even if we don't see a hard shift in this direction by Zimmer's defense, it's getting very hard to justify three linebackers no matter what personnel the offense is showing. That's why Ben Gideon and Eric Wilson combined for three snaps last week. Modern NFL offenses are ignoring down and distance. They're not saving their best plays for third downs. They're being aggressive early, catching defenses in base formations and hitting big against them. It's time for defenses to respond. Base their personnel groupings on field position, not what the offense is doing. Let's see what happens when Zimmer puts more defensive backs on the field. We signed Aloka, we drafted Mike Hughes, we kept Colton Hill on the squad. It's time to use them. All of this to consider on a long week against the champions. Our Vikings coming off back-to-back losses, the Eagles after choking away a 14-point second-half lead. It's time to finish the first tough stretch of the 2018 season. We all know what happened the last time our Vikes played Philly, the road playoff game for all the NFC marbles, and they all went to the home team. They blew out our purple 38-7, and no, I'm not afraid to say the score. Nick Foles played great with 352 passing yards, 94 QBR, so many big positive plays. Case Keenum didn't. The offensive line lost a trench battle. He saw pressure all day long. Case was forced to get the ball out early, minimizing the deep strike, giving up three turnovers. But we need to walk this blowout narrative back just a bit. The Vikings were up 7-0 with a 3-and-out before the pick 6 of Patrick Robinson. They were in the red zone down by 7 with 3 minutes left in the half before it all fell apart. Keenum fumbled a strip sack where Morgan was asked to come across the line to cut block a blitzer, literally inches away from a touchdown to Rudolph, who was open for another corner route score. Instead, a turnover and a 14-7 score with 1 minute left till halftime turned into 24-7 at halftime. The NFL always changes. The Eagles are 2-2 and in need of a win to keep pace with Dallas and Washington. Neither the Eagles or the Vikings would make the playoffs if they started today. Philadelphia has their franchise back. Carson Wentz, it's a welcome addition because they're only putting up 20 points per game. Alshon Jeffery is back too, and the Eagles hope those two can boost their passing game, which ranks 26th in success rate at 42%. Jeffery balled out against the Titans on 78% success with 8 catches, 102 yards, and a touchdown. Xavier Rhodes will need to shut him down. Their elite tight end, Zach Ertz, also got boosted by Wentz's return, so there's hope the Eagles' offense can regain form based on those flashes. Ertz and Dallas Goedert are targeted on 41% of passes, most in the league by 9%. That's the task. We've seen tight ends eat us up a lot lately. Harrison Smith and Andrew Sandejo, we're looking at you to have game. In the run game, Wendell Smallwood has been their most efficient back, 5.6 yards per carry, 64% success. Philly ranks 10th overall in success rate rushing. They're running the ball well, waiting for the pass game to come around. Eric Kendricks, it's time to make an impact. Defensively, the Eagles have been great. Top 10 in points allowed, run success, and pass success. It's led by the big men up front, Fletcher Cox, Lodi Nada, Derek Barnett, and Brandon Graham. Honestly, just a great recipe to shut down our offense, but they can be beat on the back end. Teams have thrown mainly to the receivers to beat the Eagles. That's what our Vikings do best. Diggs on the wing, Thielen splitting down the seams. It's going to take a lot of players to win at the link this Sunday. We need to stop talking about these single scapegoats, Barr, Mike Remmers. It's about the team getting better. That's why this game is important. Rick and Zim didn't make any roster moves in a long week. They know no one is coming to rescue this team. They must rescue themselves. Both teams are battling, but our purple need this game more. It won't be a few elite athletes taking over. It'll have to be a team win with stars and backups alike making the big plays. So with us focused on seeing a full team effort, I'm not going to call out 5 X factors like usual. We know where they need to improve. We know the entire team needs to step up. We know how well the Eagles can play and what our Vikings need to do to change the narrative. And we know how to beat them. Philadelphia's interior linemen have struggled. Add Linval Joseph and Sheldon Richardson to the list of Vikings who got to bring the whole meal in week 5. Bold prediction number 1, 2 more sacks for our Dragoon, Sheldon. With a lack of depth in their secondary, let's spread these guys out. Not just Diggs and Thielen, but Cook, Murray, Rudolph, Robinson, Treadwell, Morgan too. Flood them with options they can't cover. Bold prediction number 2, Kirk completes to 10 different receivers. It's just about that time. The special teams took a game off. Offense was horrible for 1 week. Defense looked lost last Thursday. Now another good team, another road game. A game that's going to demand the best from our Minnesota Vikings. This 4-man rock band, Cousins, Diggs, Thielen, Danielle Hunter on the drums, it's nice and all, but it's not the show we came to see. We came to see a full concert. 53 men pulling their weight, striving to toe in wins. 4 men won't cut it. It's time for them to do it together. Skol Vikes.